After Hours / Character Concerns, 610 Sports Radio schedule release party. Hope you're having fun. Hopefully you're listening. If not, make sure you go back and listen to the podcast if you miss any of it on the After Hours page. New Character Concerns has been released as well. Binkley got a name right. We're proud of that, man.
He's been working on that one for the last 3 weeks, and he finally got it.
He nailed it.
He slow played it on the podcast on Monday, but he finally got it this time. Hey, nice, man. And clean.
It's like Sansa Stark said, I might be a slow learner, but I still learn. Ron Kopp Jr., lead film analyst of Arrowhead Pride, joins us. Ron, how are you on this schedule release magnificent Wednesday evening?
Well, I'm great, man. I love a good old schedule release. Get the times, get the weeks down, what weeks the away games are, I should say, what road games were going on.
Yeah.
Always a fun time, dude. The way too early predictions is what I do for the site. It'll be on the AP newsletter. It's always a good time.
Love that. Ron, what do you think that's storming the internet so far, other than Butker in the kitchen? But the other thing that's storming the internet is the week six bye week. I saw your tweet. First time since Mahomes has been a starter, the Chiefs have played one that early. What say you, Ron Kopp, on an early week six bye week?
Yeah, no, Andy Reid is definitely, I think, just because, being like an NFL spokesperson, I should say, or just kind of, an old time guy, he usually gets that late bye week. I think they usually grant him that. They usually kind of say, hey, we, it's just kind of a nudge to a great coach. So you really don't see an early bye week usually for the Chiefs. It's the second earliest in the entire Andy Reid era since he arrived in Kansas City. And it definitely throws it off when you talk about, the Chiefs usually like to use that bye week late in the season to regroup. Especially with, the playoff stretch where, obviously, you're making the postseason in this era of Chiefs football, you're going to be in contention. So that late bye week is real nice. And they have the exact opposite this year where they have a very brutal second half of the schedule, where they have three of the last four on the road. That one home game between all those is the Texans, the ascending, they're going to be in playoff contention at that point with a hot team. CJ Stroud probably, gaining steam in his sophomore season. Yeah, it's kind of the opposite this year where, the early season slate, is kind of favorable for the Chiefs, and then it kind of flips late in the season where there's a lot of, a lot of things that point, to it being a harder second half of the season than most Chiefs years are.
Now you kind of look at that December stretch, obviously the 10 game stretch, three games. Are you kind of in the camp that's the NFL being a little unfair, or is it just like, hey, this is what it is when you are the top team and you've been the top team for the last 5 years?
No, I think your latter point is definitely where we got to go here. I mean, it's true. Like the Chiefs are where, the NFL, I mean, it's gone to another level since even, obviously, getting that third Super Bowl, becoming a true dynasty, really cementing themselves as an all-time, team, and everyone's still, around, right? There's still Travis Kelce, who has obviously built his stardom to another level as well. Chris Jones has become another level of star. There's just so many key points to the fact that the Chiefs are really just going to be the NFL's, top team that they're going to put in all different markets, right? All the different streaming options you can do now, all the different, channels, all the different, time slots. They literally only play, don't play on, what is it, Tuesday this year? Every other weekday they play on the schedule this year. That's just how it is. Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's anything unfair about that. I think that's just kind of what comes with it. And hey, they don't have an international game this year, right? That's one thing you can point to as an advantage this year for the Chiefs. They get that. And hey, we've seen this team it thrive on the road. So it's really not something that, anyone can look at. It is funny, though, the road trips in December are to some cold places, right? Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Denver. You're talking about some, some snow games potentially. But hey, Mahomes likes to sling it at anything, as he says. So, I really think it's just part of being, the top team, top franchise. And hey, you should welcome that. And I think the Chiefs usually do. I think they take it on the chin, I should say.
It's a lot of information getting released tonight. But the one thing, and maybe I'm just getting old, maybe I'm just getting tired. Ron, my God, I am so happy there are five noon games on this schedule. And maybe I'm looking at it from the lazy suburban guy, whatever. But man, it's been a while since we've had that many noon games in one schedule. Do you like that, or do you get going when it's more prime time, 7:20, 8:15, whatever the heck it is? But I mean, I don't know what you think about five noon games for the first time in a long time.
Well, they don't start till a little later.
Week 10.
I think. So you have to wait for those noon games. Now, I will say the thing I really like about the primetime games as a Chiefs fan is you get to watch the rest of the NFL, pretty up close, right? You know, red zone is definitely nice, you know, on a Sunday when, you know, the Chiefs have already played on Thursday, or, you know, they're going to play on Monday, you know, or if they're even just playing that night. It's nice to just be able to sit back, watch the rest of the NFL, watch your fantasy team. It's nice, you know, when you cover the team, you know, a guy like Pete, you know, our guy Pete, you know, when you're out there, you know, at Arrowhead, you know, at the stadium, and it's a prime time game. I mean, I can't imagine how long it takes to get home, you know, through all the traffic of the Arrowhead crowd. So I'm sure for the guys that got to go through all the stadium stuff. I mean, it's, you know, I don't get to do that, Dusty. You know, I'm just chilling at home. You know, I get to crack something open, you know, once I'm done with the coverage. So
that's right.
I'm good. I'm good with the primetime games. I do enjoy it. It just makes, I do like the feeling of a big game, and primetime always does that for you.
One of the things that we've talked about on the Character Concerns podcast is like the importance of these rookies coming in and having an impact really early, because you're playing two of your toughest opponents on your schedule at the beginning of the season. Obviously, once we get to December, that's going to be tough, not only just because you've got that stretch of three games in 10 days, but you are playing some teams that were in the playoffs the year before, teams that people think are to be good, like the Chargers. Browns were in the playoffs, Texans were in the playoffs, Steelers were in the playoffs. As far as the depth of the team goes, like, how important do you think that's going to be for that stretch run, especially considering the fact that you are going to be playing a lot of games on short rest as you get into the latter part of the season?
Well, yeah, that's why I'm usually good with the NFL loading up the Chiefs early part of the schedule. You know, I really like how the Chiefs map out their season. I think Andy Reid and Spags are really good at it, where, you know, I do think, you know, they know, they understand that, you know, you're not going to be your finished product right off the gate. You're going to be working on stuff, you know, win or loss. You know, there's going to be things, you know, that you gain, or, you know, things, you know, players are going to grow, you know, young players like rookies, like you're saying, like, you know, those guys in big games early, you know, like Jalen Watson had that pick six in his second career game, you know, a couple of years ago, like stuff like that can really, you know, help kind of just ascend your development and make you feel like you belong quicker. But at the same time, you know, at that, when it's the tough games early, and then it's kind of maybe, you know, that coastal, you know, that coasting stretch where maybe you have like 3 or 5 at home at the end of the season, or it just feels like, you know, maybe, you know, like the Chiefs have had recently, right, where it feels like they can coast into the postseason. That's where it really feels like the rookies can really, you know, really develop, really turn into, you know, like we've seen, like Rashee Rice, you know, really gain steam down the stretch last year. And so not having that, maybe kind of having a little bit of both this year, right, where you start off with the two huge AFC games right out the gate, and even a Monday nighter, you know, in week 5, and then also having these rough stretches. I mean, yeah, it could be something to look at in terms of how guys like Xavier Worthy, get going down the stretch, because there's some tough defenses they'd have to play, you know, down that stretch, with the Browns defense obviously going to the top. The Texans are, honestly, you know, their offense gets all the credit, but, you know, they're a young ascending defense. The Steelers, obviously, we know about them. So yeah, there's some things to look at there. I mean, I think last year you saw, you know, definitely, you know, the young guys get a chance to really, you know, grow into their role because of how the schedule is going. But, you know, the Chiefs have a chance to, or I should say opponents have a chance to maybe disrupt the Chiefs, you know, the rhythm a little bit as they try to get into playoff mode.
Well, I don't know what you got going on the rest of your evening. I just wanted to ask you, you have time for one more segment, we put you on hold.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we gotta catch a break.
Second one.
You gotta put them on the spot. They can't say no.
You can say no, Ron. It's okay.
Howard Stern taught me that.
If you got stuff to do,
no. Howard Stern taught me that.
If you got stuff to do, we're not gonna hold you hostage, bro.
No, because I gotta get into some serious stuff here, Ron. You know me. You never know if I'm being honest or being playful. But we're gonna put you on hold. We'll bring you back for a second segment, because we got a lot of information. So sit tight. We'll have Ron Kopp Jr., lead film analyst of Arrowhead Pride, come back on the other side. We talk a little bit more about the Rashee Rice suspension and where it might play out when it comes to the schedule release, because an interesting tidbit just hit me right in the middle of the temple. It's Chris Sinisero. Ron Kopp Jr. joins us again. I'm Dusty Leggett. Listen to After Hours / Character Concerns here on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
All hands are on deck at Midwest Marine, Friday, May 24th from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. for their 10-hour sale. Rates as low as 6.99% with approved credit at Midwest Marine. No payments for the first 90 days. All signed deals get an in-store credit of $1,000 to use on parts, accessories, or service. Buy any new boat and receive a free Yeti cooler. The 10-hour sale, Friday, May 24th from 9 to 7, only at Midwest Marine. 13800 South Highway 71 in Grandview, Midwest Marine. We take pride in your fun.
With summer fast approaching, you're going to want to look your best at the pool and lake. And back in November, I was nowhere near ready for either. I was sluggish, my workouts weren't great, and I was carrying around extra weight. I stopped by supplement superstores and told them I wanted to lose 10 to 15 pounds. Almost a half year later, I'm down close to 30 pounds and feeling great. There isn't a day that goes by where someone doesn't tell me how good I look. And I'm not going to lie, it's an amazing feeling. Since that November day when I walked into the Ward Parkway location of Supplement Superstores, I've dropped weight, improved my workouts, and have more energy now than ever before. I'm using the Flashpoint Complex. It's a refreshing drink in the morning when I wake up that gives me sustained energy all day long without the jitters. Then, right before bed, I have another refreshing drink that helps me recover from the day and helps me sleep better than ever before. So when you're ready, stop into any of the 8 Kansas City area supplement superstores and tell them I sent you. You'll get 20% off the Flashpoint Complex. Supplement superstores, when you're ready to feel your best.
This is the absolute worst time of year to have to be dealing with joint pain. You can't do all those outdoor activities you love to do. Hey, it's Bob Fesco. Don't go through the summer missing out on life. Call QC Kinetics now and find out how they can use biologics from your own body to give new life to your achy joints. QC's regenerative medicine protocols can restore and repair that damaged tissue with no surgery, no steroids, no drugs, and no downtime. This is the future of medicine. Tens of thousands of QC Kinetics patients around the country are living their best life this year because they made the call. Call QC Kinetics now for your free consultation. Revolutionary treatments for joint pain are here. 816-412-6299. That's 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics off 435 and State Line and in Gladstone. 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics.
Bud Light is the proud supporter of Kansas City first responders. For every Bud Light sold in Kansas City, now through the end of May, Anheuser-Busch and our local Kansas City distributors will donate $1 to Kansas City first responders through SAFE, Surviving Spouse and Family Endowment Fund. With Anheuser-Busch's goal of raising $30,000, they will help provide financial assistance to families of first responders who have fallen or who have gotten catastrophically injured in the line of duty in KC. Together, we are KC Strong. Please drink responsibly.
Dusty Likens, Christian Nocero with you until 9 o'clock. Ron Kopp Jr. with you for about another 10 minutes here. He is the lead film analyst at Arrowhead Pride. Way too early predictions coming up on that website, hosted and created by one Ron Kopp Jr. Ron, how about this? To win the AFC, the Chiefs are plus 300. And then how about this? To win the AFC West, they are minus 225 via DraftKings.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Not surprising. That's not surprising. I mean, you know, we've talked about the division, in past years, you know, feeling like it's going to get competitive. But, man, it really last year fell off a cliff. And, you know, the teams that do feel like they'll be competitive in the future. I mean, you know, I think all these three teams have a bright future, honestly, like the division, but not this year. Not this year. I that makes sense to me for it to be that long of odds.
One thing we've kind of seen in the offseason, obviously, we talk about the suspension that's forthcoming, I guess, for Rashee Rice, that we could see. A lot of people have said anywhere from 8 to 10 games. Ron, let's say it's 10 games, okay? So that means he obviously the bye affects that, so that's not a missed game. I don't believe that's how that works. So he would miss all the way up until that Buffalo matchup. He would be back against the Panthers in week 12, and then you see that rest of the season is December. If he were to miss 10 games, he would come back. That's a pretty heavy load to put on a Xavier Worthy, a Hollywood Brown, and then sprinkle in some other receivers who have kind of missed the boat when it comes to what their expectations would be.
Well, yeah, and you got to think about the fact that, too, you know, Patrick Mahomes just went 10 games developing this rhythm and, you know, the offense kind of getting into a certain, a rhythm, you know, with the players they have, right? And then all of a sudden inserting someone else when, you know, guys, you know, like Xavier Worthy, like even a Kadarius Toney, who, you know, they may, you know, still give more shots to. You know, it's just these guys all have the chances to kind of rebuild the rapport within the offense. And, you know, it could just be kind of, you know, hard to throw back in someone, especially a second year player who, you know, yeah, he had the strong rookie season, but, you know, that, you know, a lot of what he did was pretty simplified, you know, and a lot of that stuff maybe, you know, can be translated to guys like Xavier Worthy after the catch, you know, in terms of, you know, playing from the slot, playing those crossing routes where you're just getting him in space, getting him, you know, as that yak player, you know, like Rice was so good at last year. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point, man. That's a big chunk of the season. And you know, especially with that Bills game being the deadline, that's pretty tough. But you're right. It would be the 10 games. It's not 10 weeks. So that's how it would line up.
I think the one point that I think we're going to have to really kind of look at as far as the Chiefs being able to kind of survive this gauntlet early in the season, later in the season, is, you know, I just dropped my drink.
I'm good.
I'm good.
It's early and you're excited.
I be talking with my hands and sometimes good. I knock stuff over. We good over here.
Relax, brother.
The board hasn't blown up or anything. To me, the defense is going to have to really kind of play a key part in those stretches early and late in the season. And especially with the depth that they have on their defensive line, brought back a lot of guys from last year, the depth they have in their secondary right now. I think they're going to have to do a lot of relying on the defense to make sure that they can, because, you know, the Chiefs like to take it easy sometimes and save some plays for later. I think the defense is going to be an important part of that stretch early in the season and especially late in the season. I think do we lose him?
Somehow he's locked on the thing. Oh, there is he there? There he is. Ron, there you go. Go ahead.
There you are, Ron.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I was just saying that, you know, their offseason moves, the Chiefs offseason moves do tell you that they still trust this defense to be, or, you know, they trust the defense that they had last year to continue to be a top unit because they retained Mike Dana. They re-signed Chris Jones to the big deal. They re-signed, you know, some defensive linemen that I didn't think maybe we'd see back in Kansas City. They kind of retained and just kind of, you know, solidified. Obviously, they got Drew Tranquil back, even though Nick Bolton is still here going into his contract year. Obviously, they didn't bring back Willie. They traded away Legarius. But, you know, I think both of those positions, I think they could make the argument that, you know, hey, we had solid depth there, and it was maybe the, you know, there was those were the one moves we feel like we could make to still kind of retain the defense to its top level. Obviously, without Legarius Sneed, you're not going to get, you know, exactly what you had last year. But I think it does tell you that they trust the defense to still be a, you know, a very, you know, effective unit. And the pass rush could even be more turned up. Obviously, Charles Omenihu, you know, being injured is definitely going to, you know, affect that. But, I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, Felix in year two, Carl Loftus is ascending still. I think he's going to continue to be a really, really good player, really good rusher off the edge. They have a lot of pieces to work with on defense. So I agree with you. I think, and Leo Chenal stepping up into that Willie Gay role, I think he could be, you know, do a lot of the same things Willie did in terms of just making big plays. Yeah, I think the defense, you know, definitely still has, you know, an opportunity to carry this team at times.
One name I also think could end up playing some of the roles that Willie Gay played was Jaden Hicks, because he kind of plays like a linebacker. Right. He's pretty damn big for a safety. I think he might be, especially if he kind of shows the aptitude for it, being their spy guy in their passing formations when you face running quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson. I think don't sleep on Jaden Hicks if he really shows that aptitude in training camp.
Well, and that's the thing. If you're looking at, you know, how the safety position is just so strong in terms of depth and top end, you know, Justin Reed has, you know, has been playing very well, and I think B. Cook and Shamari Connor have both flashed pretty well. And then you compare it to the cornerbacks, who are obviously, you know, they have, you know, solid depth, maybe not that top end talent. When you're talking about pass downs, you may see Spags really lean into that, you know, play with those four safety sets where, you know, you're maybe not playing as many corners on the field, but you're trusting guys like, you know, Tamari Connor and Jaden Hicks to really play in that, you know, in the box and let, you know, or play in the slot, I should say, too, and just kind of really use all those safeties in different roles, right, and interchange them. I think that's going to be, you know, intriguing, because I think you're already going to see a pretty fun, you know, trio package with the safeties before you even had Hicks into the equation. And I think Hicks is going to earn his way into some PT. He's just that, you know, kind of player. And Spags likes to use those heavy safety sets, man. I think those dime sets, right, on third down, I think you're going to see some really wacky stuff like we're used to with Spags, but it could be a lot of what you get from the safety position.
What is the what's the sexiest game, in your opinion, on this schedule? And then what's a game that maybe we'll look at once the season gets going that could be a little bit more interesting than it is on schedule release night?
Hey, I'll give you a you want to say sexiest. I'll give you an Arrowhead, the Arrowhead faithful sexiest. You know, if you're a true Arrowhead person, I'm telling you, I think we're all going to be fired up by the time week five comes around. We got Derek Carr coming back to Arrowhead. You know, one last chance to torment him in prime time. Last time we got that opportunity, if everyone remembers, it was the Chris Jones sack where Carl Cheffers, called the unnecessary roughness, and Arrowhead made him basically cry, you know, as he was announcing the penalty. So
he did cry.
He was
a little spooked out there.
Yeah, and Arrowhead loves him from Derek Carr. So that's a sneaky, sexy one where, you know, the Chiefs fans kind of early in the season when it'll be a nice night out, you know, a nice October night, they'll just get a chance to really, you know, get riled up and see an old foe, you know, the old Raiders quarterback. But one game, you know, as the season gets on and we're looking at the schedule and it's kind of sneaking up on us. You know, I will say, you know, you're looking later in the season, you know, at Cleveland, you know, that Browns team, you know, that's a sneaky team. They were good last year, obviously good enough to make the postseason, just kind of flamed out, you know, with Joe Flacco kind of running the show at the end. You know, I think Deshaun Watson, you know, any of these seasons, you know, because obviously he signed for a while, right? Any of these seasons, he could kind of maybe return to form. And that team could really be a hard team to beat with that defense, with those playmakers they have. You know, Nick Chubb will be back from injury. They still have Amari Cooper and some other weapons there as well. So, you know, definitely don't sleep on Cleveland in the dog pound late in the season. If they're in playoff contention, that'll be a really rough game, but also, honestly, might be one of the better games of the year when it comes down to it.
All right, early predictions, early schedule release. What is your Chiefs 2024 schedule prediction when it comes to their record?
Oh man, they're not going to be as bad of a record as last year. I really think you're going to see them, you know, not have the same lows as last year. I think the rejuvenated offense, kind of the retooled offense a little bit, the different weapons they've thrown in it with Hollywood Brown, with Xavier Worthy. Obviously, the Rice suspension is going to throw, you know, a wrench into that a little bit, but you know, I could see them, you know, getting back into that form where they're 13-4, in that top. You know, top one seed contention, just because, again, too, the defense is at a level where, you know, they're going to really give them a lot of support. But I do think the offense is going to be more consistent this year. You know, last year, there's just too many lows, too many bad stretches. I just don't see that happening this year. I think the offense is much cleaner this year.
So what's your record?
13-4.
Nice. All right. 13-4.
Top of the conference. We'll see. There's a lot of good AFC teams, but I think that gets it done. That's for the one season.
I would like to think that's a comfortable spot to be in to win your conference. Ron, thanks for all the information tonight. And then let the people know what they can look forward to at Arrowhead Pride.
Oh, man, yeah. I'll have some observations about the schedule. You know, I've talked about some of them here, so look for that on the site. And then AP newsletter, I will do a little rundown of the way too early, you know, win, loss every week. Give you a quick analysis of each game. So check that out for the newsletter.
Well, Ron, thank you for your time. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your evening and the rest of your week as well.
You too, y'all. Appreciate y'all.
No problem, sir.
Ron Cobb Jr., lead film analyst of Arrowhead Pride. When we come back, Chris and I will finish this show off. We'll give you some of our opinions. We'll go over some other things that we've seen throughout the schedule, and we will recap what the Chiefs schedule looks like week 1 through 18. This is After Hours / Character Concerns. It's Kristen Nocera. I'm Dusty Likens. You are listening to 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Back here on 610 Sports Radio, thanks for joining us tonight as we have a lightning-fast show. I say that every time I'm on, but this one, it just seems even more I mean, Vern's been done for an hour and 15 minutes, dude, and it feels like he just got off the air.
Thanks to Jay Binkley. Thanks to Ron Kopp Jr. Thanks to Kristen Osero and all of you listening and all the text line involvement, 913-586-7610. You can get your predictions on there as well, 913-586-7610. Look, when you're the best and you've proven you're the best, your games are going to consistently be in prime time. If you want to be America's team and you want to relish in it, some of the things you've got to take with it is that you're going to be absolutely everywhere. And what I mean by that is there is a stretch where it is, what, six games and not six games, but like three games in 10 days. You're playing on Black Friday. You're playing on Christmas Day. You're playing the opener of the season because you won the Super Bowl. You have your banner night. You have two absolute bullet games right out of the chute with Baltimore and then Cincinnati at home. And when we break this schedule down, and for those of you that might have missed it or those of you that are in your car and you haven't heard the full schedule, I will give it to you in the order that it is presented. Week one, Baltimore, Thursday night at home, 7:20 kick. Week two, Cincinnati at home, 3:25 kick. Your first road game is a Sunday night football game in Atlanta, 7:20. That's week three. Week four, you travel again to the Harbaugh Chargers, who are still very good at what they do with their schedule release on social media. If you've missed it, go check it out. You'll probably have a laugh. That game is week four at 3:25. Week five, Ron Kopp, he brought it up, a sexy game. The New Orleans Saints, they come to town on Monday Night Football. So your first Monday Night Football of the game, week five at home against Derek Carr and the Saints. And then week six is the bye week, which is somewhat surprising that it is that early. It is the first time they've had a bye week that early since 2016. So quite some time. After the bye week, you get the Super Bowl rematch in San Francisco at 3:25 start. Week eight, you go to Vegas and play the Raiders, a 3:25 kick there. Then week nine, you get Tampa Bay coming to town for another Monday Night Football game. That is in week nine. Week 10, your first noon game against the Broncos. That game at noon, Bo Nix comes to town. Week 11, you go to Buffalo for the divisional round matchup and the deadness of that rivalry. You could pretty much put that to bed if you can win that game. That is week 11 at Buffalo. Week 12, your second noon game of the season against the Panthers in Carolina. Week 13, a Friday night Black Friday against the Raiders in Kansas City. Week 14, Sunday night football against the Chargers, December 8th. Again, Sunday night football, 7:20 kick. Week 15, the tough game Ron Kopp Jr. alluded to at Cleveland, a noon kick in week 15. Week 16, December 21st. Again, here's where it gets brutal. You play December 8th, December 15th, December 21st, and December 25th. That is the gauntlet. That's what we were alluding to earlier. That's what Chris Unicero called it, the gauntlet of December. Saturday, December 21st, week 16, C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans come to town, a noon kick, and then Christmas Day on Netflix, that's a Wednesday game, week 17 at Pittsburgh, and then week 18 is irrelevant at this point because we could do January 4th or January 5th, but that is at gauntlet, December 8th, 15th, 21st, and 25th against the Chargers, the Browns, the Texans, and the Steelers. That is your 18-week schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs. Kristen Acero, mad, happy, whatever, it is what it is, that's your schedule.
It is what it is. I mean, it's going to look, every team that finishes at the top of their division has a tough schedule. The toughness depends, but you're generally going to face a tough schedule. And so that I don't really see a point in complaining about it. I know people are they're complaining on Twitter right now. It is what it is. We had people on the text line earlier complaining about it. Look, I get it. You know, it's going to be a tough, even though, like, from a strength of schedule standpoint, it's middle of the road, but the lack of rest is going to be something that's going to be really difficult for them. I'm always in the camp that, like, if you want to be a great team, you got to win tough games. It's the reason why I wanted the Chiefs to go to Buffalo. It's the reason why I wanted the Chiefs to go to Baltimore. And it felt pretty damn good when you went on the road and you whooped their ass in their own place. Like, that to me was very satisfying. And this year, if you get through this gauntlet, especially that gauntlet in December, you get through those games and you walk out with that one seed and you're able to get a bye in the wild card round, you're feeling pretty damn good about where the Chiefs are. So I'm just not in the business of complaining about a difficult schedule. We can talk about the ramifications of player safety. We obviously know the NFL does not care about player safety that much.
No.
There's a reason why. I mean, they're talking about an 18th regular season game now. So, like, they clearly don't care. Like, they can say all they want, they do, but the actions don't line up with their words. So, at this point now, it's like, we know they don't care, so I'm not going to complain about the player safety aspect. So now it's just like, hey, they're going to have to play a tough schedule. It is what it is.
And in their first 5 weeks, they could essentially have such a, I don't know if you want to give it a track analogy, but they could have such a commanding lead over a division, over teams where they could also have, they could have a division lead over the probably the toughest division opponent if they could beat the Chargers in week 4. If you win the first two games of the season, you have potential tiebreakers over two of the top four teams in the AFC. You then go to a bye to where, Chris, maybe that Pittsburgh game on Christmas Day doesn't mean anything. Maybe that Broncos game in week 18 doesn't mean anything. And you essentially get three byes in a season. I know that sounds egregious and maybe a little bit homerish or biased, but really, I mean, do we think Pittsburgh's going to, I mean, it's a Mike Tomlin team. They're always above 500. I think there's only been two teams since in the last 10 years that have had at least a 500 or better record. It's the Chiefs and the Steelers. But man, if you think about it, if you can beat Baltimore and Cincinnati early on in week 2, commanding lead, you can beat the Chargers in week 4, big time at that. You know, you're not going to have any issues with the Raiders, I wouldn't think. I know they're going to be coming after you. But again, Gardner Minshew is their quarterback. I know they drafted Brock Bowers. I know Antonio Pierce is coming in for his first full season.
I'm not sweating the Raiders.
I'm not really sweating.
I'm not sweating Gardner Minshew.
Right.
Man.
And I know people can be like, well, last year, Dusty, I don't know, man. Last year, they beat. That was a broken team on Christmas Day. That's what they needed to figure it out. But, man, if you think about it, week 16 might be the last hurrah. And that's that Saturday game against Houston where I think the NFL looks at that and says, maybe that's why we didn't see that game in week 1, which everyone thought, hey, Houston, Kansas City, week 1's going to be the matchup. Nah, man, hold my beer. Week 16 with the AFC on the line with the up-and-coming Houston Texans versus the king of the West and the king of the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, that December stretch, bit concerning. You know, Houston is having Houston, you know, in December there is going to be real tough. I think we were all expecting, a lot of people were expecting him to be the opener opponent, but, you know, I think they kind of looked at that scenario and, hey, let's put that later in the season. It's going to be a bigger matchup later on instead of early, because maybe Houston will, like, really prove themselves to be one of those top teams, and then you get that marquee matchup. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think of the four games they were going to have their schedule, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Bills, and the Texans, two of them had to be early in the season, two of them had to be later in the season, probably in December. The NFL, they know what they're doing with the scheduling. I mean, we've seen some massive ratings come from these big games later in the year. So, you know, like I said, December is going to be very difficult for them, but that's just what the game is. If there's anybody that knows how to navigate that part of the season, navigate those tough schedules, it's Andy Reid. And, you know, as I alluded to when we were talking to Ron Kopp earlier, it's like, you know, it's where you lean on your defense, because the defense is going to have to be a crucial part of this run, because you're facing off against a lot of great offenses, a lot of great quarterbacks, and it's going to be a grueling schedule in that latter part of the year, and you're going to need to be able to lean on your defense, because the Chiefs aren't going to go all out every single game, all the plays, because that's the point where they kind of pack it in a little bit so they can be good for the playoffs. So defense is going to be real important at that time of year.
Another thing that's interesting, Patrick Mahomes, 15-4 in the month of September. Patrick Mahomes, 22-6 in the month of December. I will take QB1 and that record versus that gauntlet in December, because it seems that when the season gets towards the end, Patrick Mahomes seems to turn it on. And when the season's just getting started, Patrick Mahomes is clearly there as well. So 22-6 in the month of December.
Yeah, and that's the reason why, like, every year you get these people hot taking, oh, Patrick Mahomes is...
People forget.
Someone's going to overtake him now, and some team's going to overthrow the Chiefs and whatnot. And it's like... We've seen the Chiefs not finish in first, and then, you know, they go and they just run the gauntlet through the playoffs and just take out everybody and take care of business. And they did it this past year going on the road. So I think at this point now, it's like somebody's got to just dethrone the Chiefs in order for them, for any other team to take away that benefit of the doubt from them.
Until you can beat the best, you can't claim you're the best. And when you've got the best quarterback with a pretty tight record in September and December, it's pretty interesting. We'll wrap this show up with some hot takes. Not really. We'll just give you some early predictions. It can't be considered hot takes, or can they? I don't know. Maybe that term's dead. Chris Lunacero, Dusty Likens. This is a Character Concerns and After Hours conglomerate here on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking. The list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Final segment here on a scheduled release party on 610 Sports Radio. Character Concerns, After Hours, Jay Binkley, Ron Kopp Jr., Chris Lunacero, Dusty Likens. Who could you ask for more? You couldn't. And you won't get any more, because that's what you get. In just like a quick statement. Here on a Wednesday evening, beautiful Wednesday evening, as the schedule release is out, the Kansas City Chiefs 2024 opponents, times, destinations, and such. So far, the things I think that stick out the most, Chris, is the early bye week in the December gauntlet, which is what we have coined it as, because no one else has gotten to do this show yet except for us. So trademark, please.
But nobody will give us credit if they start using that tomorrow.
I feel like tomorrow morning, 5:59, Bob Fesco, oh my God, December's a gauntlet. Hello. Hi. I'm just kidding.
I don't know, maybe he's listening. He will say
not
it.
A chance.
Yeah, I just look, it is what it is, man. Yeah. I'm excited that we got the schedule now. Now we can kind of, you know, do a little predictions, and we can debate over it, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. We're still 4 months away from the NFL season starting. Mm. It feels like forever, but you know it's gonna fly by real quick, and
we'll be next, in St. Joe next week.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I mean, we're literally like 2.5 months, a little bit less than 2.5 months away from St. Joe. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about this.
Can you explain this to me? Because now that we can go kind of outside the Chiefs schedule, the most primetime games, there are three teams with six. Those three teams are Dallas, the Jets, and San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense. So I mean, New
Dallas
York.
Dallas is still America's team.
Dallas is America's team. New York. The Jets are in New York, and they have Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You got the 49ers, who just lost the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you got the Chiefs, who are the Chiefs.
And the Chiefs only have five primetime games.
Yeah.
Along with Detroit, Green Bay, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Miami, Baltimore, Eagles, and Rams.
But also the Chiefs are going to play the Black Friday game, the Christmas game. So, like, in terms of, like, primetime games – I mean, the Chiefs are probably at the top. I haven't looked at the number, but I'm pretty sure they're right at the top of the league as far as primetime games go.
Plus, they also don't really consider 3:25 on Sunday a primetime game, but come on.
It is. It is. Yeah. I think I consider it a primetime game because the 3:25 matchup is the national time slot if your local team is not playing. So, yes, I consider that primetime.
Yeah, and that's week two, Cincinnati. Chris, what we asked Ron and Binkley this question, but I'll ask you the question. What game is kind of sexy to you, and then what's a game where you're like, you know what, popcorn in hand, soda in the other, all eyes on me on the TV that you have on this 2024 schedule?
So, you know, I think the game that obviously, like, jumps out the most that people are going to be circling and excited about big is the opener against the Ravens. And, I mean, to be honest, I think the game that I'm most excited for is Bengals week two. Because we do have that rivalry there. Joe Burrow hopefully will be healthy for that one. And, you know, to me, being able to dash the hopes of Bengals fans in week two by beating them right there very early in the season. Now all of a sudden that 3-1 against Patrick Mahomes becomes 3-2, and they're starting to run out of ammo there. I think the one that, you know, I think Ron made a good point about that Browns game, because the Browns had a great defense last year. Offense wasn't that great, but Flacco did his part. I don't think Deshaun Watson has the sauce anymore. So I'm not really super excited about that. But like, and I think you brought this up as well, the Bills game, November 17th in Buffalo. You got a chance to drive a stake in the heart of the Bills and put an end to that. Because, like, it's right now, it's barely a rivalry. The Chiefs have beaten them 3 times in the playoffs now. If you go out and beat them in their place again the very next season, it's done.
Yeah, it's over.
It's a wrap. Like, no more Bills. There's no more, like, you know, they did that big-ass piece before the Bills and the Chiefs played in the playoffs. No more of that anymore. There's no more, oh, these two great teams at the greatest game in NFL history. Now they're playing in the playoffs again in the divisional round. There's no more of that. Like, at that point now, that's done. So I think you have a chance to really kind of wrap up two of your biggest rivals that you've had during this stretch. In those two games there, so that really excites me there, because now all of a sudden you make a big statement. You beat the Bengals, you beat the Ravens, you beat the Bills. You're making a massive statement to the rest of those teams that, hey, you're not on our level anymore.
I like that. I also like week two versus Cincinnati. I think if you look at the Chiefs schedule and you were to, like you said, circle all the games that, you know, maybe the one that you want to go to that you don't want to miss, I think opening night will be probably the most popular game that people want to try to get to.
Right.
You want to see the ceremony. You want to see the banner get unveiled. Week two, man. I mean, we just talked about it. Buffalo, that rivalry it could be dead. It could be gone. We'll see what their team looks like. MVS versus former team. But also,
I don't think we're thinking about MVS in that way.
I mean, that's all they,
unless he drops a pass. If he drops a pass, like, oh, there he is.
Oh God, please let it be a game winning pass. Like the Stephon Diggs.
That would be hilarious if he was wide open like Stephon. So he just drops it.
As I continue to do this show and I continue to look at this schedule, I'm really intrigued by that Cincinnati game, because what the NFL did last year is they tried so hard.
Standpoint, it's middle of the road, but the lack of rest is going to be something that's going to be really difficult for them. I'm always in the camp that, like, if you want to be a great team, you got to win tough games. It's the reason why I wanted the Chiefs to go to Buffalo. It's the reason why I wanted the Chiefs to go to Baltimore. And it felt pretty damn good when you went on the road and you whooped their ass in their own place. Like, that to me was very satisfying. And this year, if you get through this gauntlet, especially that gauntlet in December, you get through those games and you walk out with that one seed and you're able to get a bye in the wild card round, you're feeling pretty damn good about where the Chiefs are. So I'm just not in the business of complaining about a difficult schedule. We can talk about the ramifications of player safety. We obviously know the NFL does not care about player safety that much.
No.
There's a reason. I mean, they're talking about an 18th regular season game now. So, like, they clearly don't care. Like, they can say all they want, they do, but the actions don't line up with their words. So, at this point now, it's like, we know they don't care, so I'm not going to complain about the player safety aspect. So now it's just like, hey, they're going to have to play a tough schedule. It is what it is.
And in their first 5 weeks, they could essentially have such a, I don't know if you want to give it a track analogy, but they could have such a commanding lead over a division, over teams where they could have a division lead over probably the toughest division opponent. If they could beat the Chargers in week four, if you win the first two games of the season, you have potential tiebreakers over two of the top four teams in the AFC. You then go to a bye to where, Chris, maybe that Pittsburgh game on Christmas Day doesn't mean anything. Maybe that Broncos game in week 18 doesn't mean anything. And you essentially get 3 byes in a season. I know that sounds egregious and maybe a little bit homerish or biased, but really, I mean, do we think Pittsburgh's going to, I mean, it's a Mike Tomlin team. They're always above 500. I think there's only been two teams in the last 10 years that have had at least a 500 or better record. It's the Chiefs and the Steelers. But man, if you think about it, if you can beat Baltimore and Cincinnati early on in week 2, commanding lead, you can beat the Chargers in week 4, big time of that. You know you're not going to have any issues with the Raiders, I wouldn't think. I know they're going to be coming after you, but again, Gardner Minshew's their quarterback. I know they drafted Brock Bowers. I know Antonio Pierce is coming in for his first full season.
I'm not sweating the Raiders.
I'm not really sweating.
I'm not sweating Gardner Minshew,
right,
man.
And I know people can be like, well, last year, Dusty, I don't know, man. Last year, they beat. That was a broken team on Christmas Day. That's what they needed to figure it out. But, man, if you think about it, week 16 might be the last hurrah. And that's that Saturday game against Houston where I think the NFL looks at that and says, maybe that's why we didn't see that game in week one, which everyone thought, hey, Houston, Kansas City, week one's going to be the matchup. Nah, man, hold my beer. Week 16 with the AFC on the line with the up-and-coming Houston Texans versus the king of the West and the king of the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, and that December stretch, bit concerning. You know, Houston is having Houston, you know, in December there is going to be real tough. I think we were all expecting, a lot of people were expecting him to be the opener team opponent, but, you know, I think they kind of looked at that scenario and, hey, let's put that later in the season. It's going to be a bigger matchup later on instead of early, because maybe Houston will, like, really prove themselves to be one of those top teams, and then you get that marquee matchup. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think of the four games they were going to have their schedule, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Bills, and the Texans, two of them had to be early in the season, two of them had to be later in the season, probably in December. The NFL, they know what they're doing with the scheduling. I mean, we've seen some massive ratings come from these big games later in the year. So, you know, like I said, December is going to be very difficult for them, but that's just what the game is. If there's anybody that knows how to navigate that part of the season, navigate those tough schedules, it's Andy Reid. And, you know, as I alluded to when we were talking to Ron Kopp earlier, it's like, you know, that's where you lean on your defense, because the defense is going to have to be a crucial part of this run, because you're facing off against a lot of great offenses, a lot of great quarterbacks, and it's going to be a grueling schedule in that latter part of the year, and you're going to need to be able to lean on your defense, because the Chiefs aren't going to go all out every single game, all the plays, because that's the point. They kind of pack it in a little bit so they can be good for the playoffs. Mm. So defense is going to be real important at that time of year.
Another thing that's interesting, Patrick Mahomes, 15-4 in the month of September. Patrick Mahomes, 22-6 in the month of December. I will take QB1 and that record versus that gauntlet in December, because it seems that when the season gets towards the end, Patrick Mahomes seems to turn it on. And when the season's just getting started, Patrick Mahomes is clearly there as well. So 22-6 in the month of December.
Yeah, and that's the reason why, like, every year you get these people hot taking, oh, mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes is
people
is,
forget
someone's gonna overtake him now, and some team's gonna overthrow the Chiefs and whatnot. It's like, we've seen the Chiefs not finish in first, and then, you know, they go and they just run the gauntlet through the playoffs and just take out everybody and take care of business. And they did it this past year going on the road. So I think at this point now, it's like, somebody's got to just dethrone the Chiefs in order for them, for any other team, to take away that benefit of the doubt from them.
Until you can beat the best, you can't claim you're the best. And when you've got the best quarterback with a pretty tight record in September and December, it's pretty interesting. We'll wrap this show up with some hot takes. Not really. We'll just give you some early predictions. It can't be considered hot takes, or can they? I don't know. Maybe that term's dead. Chris Nocero, Dusty Likens. This is a Character Concerns and After Hours conglomerate here on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking. The list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Final segment here on a schedule release party on 610 Sports Radio. Character Concerns, After Hours, Jay Binkley, Ron Kopp Jr., Kristen Nocero, Dusty Likens. Who could you ask for more? You couldn't. And you won't get any more, because that's what you get. In just like a quick statement. Here on a Wednesday evening, beautiful Wednesday evening, as the schedule release is out, the Kansas City Chiefs 2024 opponents, times, destinations, and such. So far, the things I think that stick out the most, Chris, is the early bye week in the December gauntlet, which is what we have coined it as, because no one else has gotten to do this show yet except for us, so trademark, please.
Nobody will give us credit if they start using that tomorrow.
I feel like tomorrow morning, 5:59, Bob Fesco. Oh my God, December's a gauntlet. Hello. Hi. I'm just kidding.
I don't know, maybe he's listening. He will. He will say.
Not a chance.
Yeah, I just look. It is what it is, man. Yeah. I'm excited that we got the schedule now. Now we can kind of, you know, do a little predictions, and we can debate over it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're still 4 months away from the NFL season starting. Mm. It feels like forever, but you know it's going to fly by real quick. And
we'll be next, in St. Joe next week.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I mean, we're literally like 2.5 months, a little bit less than 2.5 months away from St. Joe. So. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this.
Can you explain this to me? Because now that we can go kind of outside the Chiefs schedule, the most primetime games, there are three teams with six. Those three teams are Dallas, the Jets, and San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense. So I mean, New
Dallas
York.
Dallas is still America's team.
Dallas is America's team. New York. The Jets are in New York, and they have Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You got the 49ers, who just lost the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you got the Chiefs, who are the Chiefs.
And the Chiefs only have five primetime games.
Yeah.
Along with Detroit, Green Bay, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Miami, Baltimore, Eagles, and Rams.
But also the Chiefs are going to play the Black Friday game, the Christmas game. So, like, in terms of, like, primetime games – I mean, the Chiefs are probably at the top. I haven't looked at the number, but I'm pretty sure they're right at the top of the league as far as primetime games go.
Plus, they also don't really consider 3:25 on Sunday a primetime game, but come on.
It is. It is. Yeah. I think I consider it a primetime game because the 3:25 matchup is the national time slot if your local team is not playing. So, I consider that primetime.
Yeah, and that's week two, Cincinnati. Chris, what we asked Ron and Binkley this question, but I'll ask you the question. What game is kind of sexy to you, and then what's a game where you're like, you know what, popcorn in hand, soda in the other, all eyes on me on the TV that you have on this 2024 schedule?
So, you know, I think the game that obviously, like, jumps out the most that people are going to be circling and excited about big is the opener against the Ravens. And, I mean, to be honest, I think the game that I'm most excited for is Bengals week two. Because we do have that rivalry there. Joe Burrow hopefully will be healthy for that one. And, you know, to me, being able to dash the hopes of Bengals fans in week two by beating them right there very early in the season. Now, all of a sudden, that 3-1 against Patrick Mahomes becomes 3-2. And they're starting to run out of ammo there. I think the one that, you know, I think Ron made a good point about that Browns game, because the Browns had a great defense last year. Offense wasn't that great, but Flacco did his part. I don't think Deshaun Watson has the sauce anymore. So I'm not really super excited about that. But like, and I think you brought this up as well, the Bills game, November 17th in Buffalo. You got a chance to drive a stake in the heart of the Bills and put an end to that. Cause like, it's right now, it's barely a rivalry. The Chiefs have beaten them three times in the playoffs now. If you go out and beat them in their place again the very next season, it's done.
Yeah, it's over.
It's a wrap. Like, no more Bills. There's no more, like, you know, they did that big ass piece before the Bills and the Chiefs played in the playoffs. No more of that anymore. There's no more, oh, these two great teams at the greatest game in NFL history. Now they're playing in the playoffs again in the divisional round. There's no more of that. Like, at that point now, that's done. So I think you have a chance to really kind of wrap up two of your biggest rivals that you've had during this stretch. In those two games there, so that really excites me there, because now all of a sudden you make a big statement. You beat the Bengals, you beat the Ravens, you beat the Bills. You're making a massive statement to the rest of those teams that, hey, you're not on our level anymore.
I like that. I also like week two versus Cincinnati. I think if you look at the Chiefs schedule and you were to, like you said, circle all the games that, you know, maybe the one that you want to go to that you don't want to miss, I think opening night will be probably the most popular game that people want to try to get to.
Right.
You want to see the ceremony. You want to see the banner get unveiled. Week two, man, I mean, we just talked about it. Buffalo, that rivalry it could be dead. It could be gone. We'll see what their team looks like. MVS versus former team.
But also,
I don't think we're thinking about MVS in that way.
I mean, that's unless all they,
he,
I mean,
unless he drops a pass. If he drops a pass, like, oh, there he is.
Oh God, please let it be a game-winning pass, like the Stephon Diggs.
That would be hilarious if he was wide open like Stephon. So he just drops it.
As I continue to do this show and I continue to look at this schedule, I'm really intrigued by that Cincinnati game because what the NFL did last year is they tried so hard to make that Week 17 game against Cincinnati on New Year's Eve or New Year's Eve to be like the mecca of the season, like Burrow,
the one
Mahomes.
Seed game.
Yeah,
that was supposed to be the one seed
that was
game.
Supposed to be, and it was Jake Browning and Patrick Mahomes. Still a fun game. Still had a little bit of a juice on the line for that game, but now we get it in Week 2. So barring any sort of catastrophic failures or hopefully Joe Burrow can still throw the ball with that wrist injury that he had last year and everything's fine, we're going to get that right out of the chute. And I love that because I think that's still the freshest rivalry in the AFC out of any teams. I think Burrow, Mahomes, Cincinnati, Kansas City, it might be the last year we see T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase together going up against this Kansas City Chiefs team. And then again, the one that I think is sexy that I think Ron Kopp brought up is that road game in Cleveland. It's December, it's Cleveland, it's cold, it's the dog pound. Cleveland actually finally does have something to kind of play for and to kind of look forward to. And as we said last year, at a time, they were kind of flirting with the one seed. And like you said, we don't know what Deshaun Watson is going to be. We don't know what is going to be left in the juice in the tank of that Cleveland team, but they still have that kind of that same defense. Their offense got a little bit older, right? There's Nick Chubb coming back from a catastrophic injury. But that game is kind of intriguing to me because of what it could mean in the AFC. That could essentially lock a lot of things up for the Kansas City Chiefs. And moving forward, there's really only one real important game after that. Obviously, the Houston Texans would be the next week. And then maybe potentially you could take it real easy the last two games of the schedule and set up for that three-peat run.
Yeah, yeah. They have a chance to bury all of their rivals in the AFC very effectively during this stretch here.
Sorry.
Obviously, first two games. But yeah, during that November-December run, yeah, you're going to face some AFC opponents. You can put them down, and I think you do that, you really kind of put yourself in a good position. Like, we've said it the last few years, like the Chiefs are always in control of their destiny as it pertains to that one seed. Last year they and every year they don't get it. They squander opportunities. They really kind of shoot themselves in the foot when they get into those positions.
Yeah.
Now you look at it and it's like, okay, they've won the last two Super Bowls. You had a great defense. We think you've improved your deficiencies on the offensive end. Obviously, we got to see what happens with Rashi Rice, but like, if they're able to improve their offense and keep their momentum on defense going,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the sky's the limit as far as what this team could do during the regular season, and they could really coast their way into the playoffs and put themselves in a great position to do what no team's ever done before in the NFL.
Running out of time. We did this last year, I think, you and I, with the schedule release. I'm pretty sure. Schedule prediction. What do you have this team going this year in 2024?
I got them 14-3. I think 13-4,
man.
14-3 is about where you should be looking at there. Okay. I know it's a tough schedule, but look, man, this defense is for real. This defense might be better because I think their secondary really improved this year. Like, I'm telling y'all, and I've been saying this since that Saturday of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Look out for that Jaden Hicks kid, man. Like, that kid, he's going to be a future starter, I think, for this team. I think he's going to replace Justin Reed as the starting strong safety. He's a thumper. He kind of plays a lot like Tyrann Mathieu does, but he's much bigger than Tyrann Mathieu is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, look out for him, man. And if he acclimates himself and finds a role in this offense and sees a lot of playing time, I think this defense is going to be amazing this year. They're going to force turnovers. They're going to get after the quarterback, and teams are going to have a hard time scoring on them.
Yeah, I'm going to go 13-4. I'm going to ride the coattails of Bink and Ron Kopp. I think four games, obviously, every year you have that one game that's just a stinker. You always have that dud. A couple years ago, it was the Indianapolis game. This past year, it was the Denver game and then the Oakland or the Vegas Raiders game. Those are two games that, whatever, you look at the schedule, you think you'd probably handle, but obviously last year they go somewhere different. I am a little bit shocked still that the week six is the bye week for the Kansas City Chiefs, but to each their own. The other thing I will say for all of you that are complaining about different streaming devices for games, we kind of did it to ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, we knew the NFL was going to do this at some point.
And this is why you will continuously see Netflix and Hulu and ESPN Plus and Peacock and Amazon. They'll start to combine each other's streamings. And, hey, you can buy it all for $15, and then you can have all this. or you can buy Red Zone for $15.99 a month, and then you can drop it whenever. But when you think about why are these games on different streaming devices, why are these games here? At the end of the day, we did it to ourselves, and cable's just sitting back with their hands behind their heads saying, we tried to tell you, you'll come back eventually, but I don't think we will.
But that's why. I don't think so either.
But that's why.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that.
We did it to ourselves. That's okay. Kristen Nocero, Jay Binkley, Ron Kopp Jr. That was all tonight. I'm Dusty Likens. Thanks for everyone that listened. Thanks for all the support on the text line. Thanks for everybody that tuned in outside of the car that took time to download it or download on the podcast on the Odyssey app. Thanks for listening. After hours, as always, go do nice things for people because it could change their day, week, month, or year. You never know. It's just simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe. Stay kind. I love you. I'll be back tomorrow with Alex Gold for Cody and Gold, Bob Fesco, Josh Klinger. They kick off at 5:58, followed by Gold and myself, Chris Nocero. Thanks for everything tonight. Kansas City, good night. I love you.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.